Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In a reflective journey of a loved one's passing, C.K. Brace shares her perspective on her mother's battle with cancer. Day-to-day trials, support from loved ones, the intricacies of the funeral process, and much more. Reflections, intimate moments, and the evolution of her emotions as they grapple with the impact of moments before and after losing someone dear. After a fulfilling career in the banking industry, C.K. is now retired. She holds a profound spirituality, embracing a nature-based religious path that connects her with the natural world. Together with her devoted husband, who's been her partner for 54 years, C.K. has made Jackson, Michigan her home for most of their lives. C.K. Brace shares, author of A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing, a heartfelt narrative that offers insight, solace, and a testament to the strength of family bonds, is our guest on This Week in America. C.K., welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. I'm pleased to be here. Thank you.
I've been looking forward to this conversation. It is such an important one. You've done an excellent job of presenting this based on what you went through caring for your mother for the 2 years that she was suffering from cancer. What was the catalyst for telling that story, for writing this book, A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing?
Well, there's five of us in the family. You know, I've four other sisters, a brother and three other sisters. And going through that was difficult to schedule people to be out there to help her out. My one sister lived with her, but still she needed help. And I thought, boy, you know, what it would be like if we only had one or two people in the family dealing with this. This would be really hard. I mean, it was hard for us.
Yes.
And I thought, well, maybe writing down our experiences and what we went through, the processes that you go through, you know, taking care of a loved one, their funeral process, what you do afterwards, you know, and all the things that you can do before, too. And I thought that might be a good thing to do.
It's an excellent book. Well, yeah, it's an excellent book, and it really answers a lot of our questions. You touched on some of the subjects. We'll only get to probably several of those during the course of our conversation. The book is available wherever books are sold. CK's website is very simple. Her name, C.K. Brace Shares, that's BraceShares.com. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What is the main message or the main messages that you want to send to the readers, to leave with the readers?
Well, first, be kind to yourself, because, you know, you're human and you're going to feel emotions. It's going to be a whole range of emotions that you're going to go through, you know, especially if you're dealing with somebody that's on a long-term illness. Because I think in human, all of us human, that we don't like to have a stagnant life, and so we like to have a little bit of change, and when we do that, we kind of get saddened and depressed. And so if you can be kind to yourself and realize that you're going to have those emotions and go through them, let them go.
The book is A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing by C.K. Brace Shares, and we'll talk about the emotions that you go through. As we're going through this, people are going to have many questions as they hear you talk. Where can they get more answers? Is the book is a way to get some answers, many of them there. You've got a blog site as well. Where else can people go to get information?
Well, within the book, I gave them several links of the information that I gathered, and they're very informative. They outline a lot of things that they can do. In my blog, I do talk about some of the issues in more depth about that were in the book. And, you know, and plus too, there's a lot of grief counseling that you can go to within the area that you live in. You can type into Google and put in grief counseling and help. I mean, hospice has different things. A lot of the hospitals have different programs that you can help you out and give you information.
The book is really complete. Let's talk about that for a second, then we'll get into some specific topics. You cover just about everything here. I mentioned some in the beginning, including this is something so often people, possessions after a loved one dies and you go into the home and suddenly you're faced with those emotions all over again and what you're going to do. The memories come back. Something we may not be prepared for as we're going through this process. The book is really comprehensive, isn't it?
Yes, as I try to, I thought about it and I says, well, you know, what subjects would people want to know about? And the last one, taking care of loved ones' possessions, is kind of hard, but it's also necessary and you have to deal with it. And there's a lot of things that you can mitigate for that process by talking to your loved ones before they pass and seeing if they can reduce their amount of things that they have. It took us one full dumpster to take out of my mom's house, plus several trips to the used shops, and still we had lots of stuff left. I mean, it took us a whole 3 weeks to take care of her stuff, but she's been in our house for like 75 years.
Oh, yes, so, yes.
You know, so she had, you acquire a lot. And so things like that, you can talk to your loved ones and see if they can reduce their amount, you know, because they're not going to want to give away their items that they've worked hard for, but you can reason with them and tell them, you know, we're going to have to take care of this stuff after you, you know, and see if they can work that something out between them.
How difficult is it to have those conversations? And I say that because so often we put off any discussion regarding death, the passing of someone. How difficult is it to go to, in this case, your mother, and to have these conversations?
Well, my mother was very open about it. She had an issue when she was like 80, and she had a bowel resection, and we thought she was going to pass that time. And I talked with her about, you know, setting up the things that she may want to give to people. So I had my siblings sit down and with her and hash out what she wanted to give to each other. And we wrote it out in a legal form. You know, I listed out everything and had everybody sign it, had my mom sign it. And it really was a moot point by the time that she did pass, because most of the stuff, either people had it or they didn't want it anymore.
Yes.
But it was important to do that because then everybody was on the same page. Nobody had to say, well, you know, I wonder who's going to get that and all that kind of crap, you know.
Well, yeah, there's such turmoil sometimes and resentment when it's over with because somebody thinks they should be getting treated favorably than somebody else. And again, by preparation, you're able to deal with some of these issues. And let's talk about that. In fact, one of the blogs you've got, one of the recent ones, we're having the conversation. That's so important to do. And that what is maybe the first step in preparation is having that conversation. You use the analogy.
Definitely.
You're watching a life insurance commercial and it's like, you know, the guy's going, I want to talk about this. And I've probably done that myself. That's
right.
Really, that's the foundation for this, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it goes into like doing a living will. I feel that a living will is probably the best solution because it takes care of your medical person to take care of you when you go into the hospital. You assign a person, I can't remember the name exact thing, and is it a power of attorney type of thing?
Yes.
Where you advocate, that's what it is. And you assign somebody to help you with that and take care of, if you can't sign things, they can sign it. And that's so important. And then have your will takes care of your financial possessions and property. And that's important too. Just a will would take care of, you know, your financial problems or property, but it doesn't take care of your health part. And so two together, it really was simple to take care of everything at the end, because my mom and dad thought to do that.
That is so important, and it's not that complicated to do, is it?
No, and for us in Michigan, we're in Michigan, it was like $1,200 we just did it, and it's like $1,200 to get a living will set up, and everything now, our house, our property, all our financials have all been designated to my two children. So now everything's laid out, and we don't have to worry about that.
Well, imagine if you're going through a situation, a loved one in the family is in the hospital and going through a possibly terminal situation, and you don't have these arrangements. They don't have those arrangements. You're really not only faced with their well-being, all of these real-life questions that you have to deal with.
Yes, and now with everything having the privacy code or situation, that would be really hard because the hospital would have no choice but to denote somebody because they don't have anything in place. And so plus the loved one is the only person who can make the changes or make decisions. Sorry, I was searching for a word. Decisions about their life and the medical thing. So if you don't have anybody in place for it, that could be really a difficult situation.
Information on the living will, on a will, all in the book, A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing by C.K. Brashares. That's Brashares. Her website is ckbrashares.com. Information on the book there, more information on the book and the topic as well, and the blog, and you'll want to check that on a monthly basis. Book, of course, available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Let's get into the gamut of emotions that everybody goes through. I mentioned in the beginning the evolution of the emotions. Let's start with that. It's not one emotion, is it, that lasts the entire time? I would assume there are different stages of emotions that go with those.
Oh, yes. For example, toward the end of the second year of my mom's illness, I began to wonder, when will this end? I mean, they told us at the beginning it was going to be 6 months, and she lasted almost 2 years. And so you get that feeling, I mean, the day-to-day grind of kind of waiting for that shoe to drop. Gave me that feeling, and then I felt instantly guilty. I says, "Oh my God!" You know, that was like saying I wanted her to pass, and that's not what I wanted. But in not acknowledging that feeling, I became aware of it, and so then I asked, "Is that what I want to bring to my mother at this time?" And I says, "No, it wasn't." So in that awareness, brought the change in attitude. And the ability to adapt to a new attitude, which then I can let go of the negative feeling and replace for a more positive feeling.
I want to come back in a second.
Peace, because I was able to refocus on my mother and not the length of the illness. And then I could have the ability to move forward with renewed strength to handle the upcoming events.
And that was better for you and better for your mother that you came to this realization. I want to come back to emotions in a second, but you mentioned yourself and the self-reflection you went through as you're feeling this resentment, almost anger. You talk about having an epiphany, and that was so important in you getting grounded to find your way through this. Talk about that epiphany and the difference that made in your life and really reflected in your book.
Yes, it was the pivotal point of the book, I think, and kind of the whole, the center point of it. I was coming home after a difficult day with her. She is a very opinionated person, and she cooked, was a very good cook, and so everything had to be just right, and anything that didn't cook didn't taste good to her. And so we were having a difficult day that day. And I come home, and I was doing a lot of other things at home, too. And I come home, and I turned off the car, and I leaned back, and I just happened to look up at the sky. And it was a pretty day, you know, fluffy clouds, and there was this expanse of blue in the center of it. And I thought, Oh my goodness. I just felt so small. And I wondered, and it took me back a bit. I says, why do I feel that? And then it hit me. From the time that I started this, I have to say I'm the oldest, so I'm kind of expected to have a certain demeanor in this whole process. At least I thought that's what I needed to do. Anyway, I thought, well, ever since I found out, I was holding myself and making myself smaller each day, each time, to the point that I have become like a point of a pencil point. And I says, well, I couldn't contract myself any further. I had to face the fact that she was going to pass, and that to go forward and open up and enjoy her as much as I could. And so it just kind of, just the epiphany of that really changed my whole attitude and manner about it.
Talk about the role of communication. You mentioned the oldest, the expectations, or what you thought were the expectations on you to be the leader and going through that. How important is communication between family members?
It's very important. I know that for the most part, the five of us talked pretty good and were open, but there was a couple of the people that weren't very happy with us. They felt that they were slighted and didn't get attention to their problems or the situations that they were thinking were important. But for the most part, we talked everything out, and I tried to make sure, because I was the power of attorney or trustee of her estate, I didn't want to leave them out in any way. I wanted to include them in every decision I made. Because ultimately, at the end, that would be important. So to keep from having anybody have difficult anger or adjustments, or didn't like something I did, at least it was all out in the open.
When you go through all of this and you have all these emotions and you've got the people coming to you, how important is it to be honest to yourself with your feelings, and not maybe, I think a tendency may be to suppress those. I shouldn't be thinking this, so I'm not going to. How important is it to express those, maybe to a family member, maybe to a friend, to deal with them?
It is. It's best to talk to somebody and keep it. The more you can talk about your emotions during this time, the better. Find a friend, or you can just take and find a pillow, scream into it, or beat something,
Yes.
Just the act of movement of moving your body helps to it can relieve those emotions and that feeling of stagnant process that you go through in this, because it's slow moving most of the time. It takes a lot of time. There's a lot of effort, and you do a lot to take care of somebody. So you have a lot of emotions penned up, and the more you can find a way to express them, some people take and run, some people can do other things like gardening or whatever, but the more you can do physical activity and also talk to somebody about it and be honest with yourself. I think that's the biggest thing, is you have to be honest with yourself and give yourself kindness and credit that, okay, you're going to feel these feelings, but they're just feelings. I mean, you don't have to stick with them. You can take and find ways to mitigate them or turn them around, like I did. Thinking about that, I says, I'm only a human person, and we're not perfect. We're imperfect most of the time. So allow yourself a little slack.
You have decisions that have to be made. The family has to make them. In some cases, there's a single child that has to make these cases. Let's talk about hospice care. How do you go about handling that? And suddenly people are confronted with that. And for many, it's the first time they've really ever even thought about it.
True. The hospice procedure is the doctor has to make this decision to have that come in. But once that is done, it is taken care of by Medicare, so all the costs with that is taken care of with that. At least for our part in Michigan, it is. I don't know what it's like in all states, but What I was told that that was taken care of, the you know, that part of it was taken care of by Medicare. And they come in and they assess. They don't, just because the doctor tells you that you need it, they hospice comes in and does an assessment on if you really need it or not. And of course, my mom did, because she couldn't stand up and make her meals anymore. And she had a lot of different other breathing problems and things like that. And so it was very important to go through that. Well, they did bring her into it. And then from there, you have the nurse that comes out either once, depending on the situation. My mom was once a week. And then they have a somebody, a care person who like does giving them showers and bathes them. They have a priest or a pastor come out. They have a social service person come out. They have a massage person come out. And it's all coordinated, and it's really amazing process. I can't say enough about hospice, in fact, because my mom passed away at home. And, of course, that brings connotations about the police officer and what you're going to do to tell them that she passed and all that kind of thing. Well, we didn't have to worry about that, because hospice called in the coroner and set the time, called the funeral home, had them come out. I mean, they did everything. It was really good, and I'm glad that we did. And it gave my mom peace, because she didn't want to go to a hospital. She wanted to pass at home, and she had that option.
It means so much to so many. So much information in C.K.'s book, A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing. C.K. Brashares, that's Brashares. That's her website, ckbrashares.com. Give you that as we wrap up our conversation. Let's talk briefly about the funeral process. I mentioned that in the beginning. That's something that sometimes difficult for people to deal with as well. How important is that to be planned ahead of time?
Oh, yes, that's very important. It's because, well, we went there. That's the only thing I have to say, that when she passed like at 5:30 in the morning on Monday morning. And so we didn't get very much sleep. And by the 1:30 that afternoon, the funeral home called and set up the appointment to come in. And she didn't have a casket picked out, so we had to do that. And we had to pick out the note things, you know, they have at the funeral design. Yes. And the notebook that they sign, and decide that, and when it was going to be, and, you know, where it was going to be. Because it was COVID at the time, and we have a large family, it was going to be anywhere from in excess of 70 plus people to come to see her. The funeral home could only do 25 at a time, so we decided that we would have it at the church. They had a nice vestibule area that was large enough to handle something like that. But it's important to set that stuff up, I mean, because you got to know, you know, do you have a plot? Are you going to be cremated? Are you going to be interned? Where are you going to do, you know, have it? Your plot at what cemetery you're going to be at, have your casket picked out. Are you going to have a 1-day viewing or a 2-day viewing? And, you know, you're going to have something kind of lunch afterwards, because that has to be planned in there.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different things to it. And the more you can do beforehand, the better that you'll be for your loved ones afterwards. That can handle.
A couple of minutes left, where time has gone by so quickly. The book has so many answers to these topics, many more we've not had time to discuss, A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing. How important is it, was it for you? You're taking care of your mother, and then maybe it was the time of the epiphany when you realized, I need to take care of CK too. How important is it for the person that's providing the care to make sure they take care of themselves as well?
Oh, it was really, I missed that totally, because in doing that and having to juggle so many things, I come home and I would sit in front of the computer and I wouldn't move. And that promoted having problems with walking in the last couple of years. So it's very important to keep, to attempt anyway, to keep up a normal lifestyle if you can, and have movement. Do some, try to do one thing that you enjoy each day. That will help alleviate some of the stress that you're going to go through. And definitely move. If you can take and do a walk in nature every day, that will be, I think, will be helpful. I wished I could have done that.
Great advice, and so much more, as I say, in C.K.'s book, A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing by C.K. Brashares. That's B-R-A-S-H-A-R-E-S. That's her website, ckbrashares.com. C.K., a pleasure having you on the program. This is a very important book in helping so many people through difficult times and helping them to avoid even more difficult times. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me.
C.K. Brashares, our guest. The book is A Reflective Journey of a Loved One's Passing. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and C.K.'s website or name, ckbrashares.com. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.